FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's September 26, 2018. Hey, as always, we just would like you to be part of the conversation, part of the debate, part of the show. Just send us an email to kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, market is once again up today, getting back to record territory. And, well, obviously, higher the market goes, higher risk goes. You need a strategy that will still enable you to make money even while the market's heading upward, but at the same time to hopefully manage risk better than we're doing, better than we've often done in the past. And Allison Ostrander is here with us now from Simpler Trading, team member there, expert on risk management. Allison, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kerry. Thanks so much for having me.
Pleasure. So where is the market at? What's the trend, and how much longer is it going to keep doing it?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, right? How long is this going to keep going higher? And for the overall market, what I like to tell my clients and what I like to educate people on is that it's always easier for the market to continue to make a higher high, right? Once you get to those all-time highs, it only needs to move a penny for it to make a new all-time high. And I think, for myself, at least, I am still a cautious bull on this market. Until we really start to break below support levels, the trend is still been to the upside, and it's not something I'm going to fight. I think a great example for maybe some of your listeners who might be a bit more bearish on the market or kind of, you know, questioning, well, how do you think it could possibly continue higher? A great example is to go back to something like NDX on a monthly time frame. And when you look back at a monthly time frame, you can see that just a few years ago, in 2015, we started to get back to those all-time highs that we saw whenever we were in the tech bubble in the late 1990s, early 2000s. And there was a lot of talk then going around, how are we possibly going to keep going higher? We're going to crash down. The market's going to pull back to where it was, you know, back after that tech bubble or back in 2008, and we're going to see prices drop to those levels. And it's not to say that, you know, the market can't certainly move lower, but there was just no sign of that going to occur. We managed to continue to hold support levels on the chart. And then once we started to get past those all-time highs, we saw a move in NDX from around 4760, 4780, all the way up to 7,600 where we're currently trading. So that's, you know, roughly over a $3,000 move, a 3,000 point move that we saw NDX occur and continue to make highs. And if you were bearish that whole time, you know, your account is certainly probably hurting, and hopefully you've, you know, gotten well far out for those bears so that you can maybe see some sort of pullback. For myself, I'm just not going to fight the trend here. If we continue to make highs and we continue to push higher, then I'm still going to be along with that trend. And until we start to really break below those support levels on a daily or weekly chart, I'm not going to fight the trend overall to the upside. So, you know, like I said, it's a million-dollar question on which way we could be headed from here. Where is that high? Where is that number at? For myself, I don't like to pick the all-time high and say, oh, I got in there for a bearish put. Instead, you know, I might miss those first few dollars on the move down, but once it starts to prove that it's moving lower and breaking those support levels and turning into resistance, it's not something that I would necessarily want to call, right?
Yeah, I would imagine not. But hey, we always like to throw that question out because you never know how somebody's going to answer it. And maybe you know
Absolutely.
Something we don't. So, but you still want to be involved in the market, but you want to be protecting yourself somewhat and have your risk minimized because there could be a pullback at any time.
Absolutely. I think that's an excellent point. For myself, I created a little rule for myself. I call it the 25% rule on my capital risk. I think it's excellent for anyone who's new to trading or maybe is trading smaller accounts. And basically, what I do, especially when it's on a smaller account, is I don't put more than 25% of my total capital into new trades. And that's not to say I put, you know, 25% of that all into just one trade. I split that up across multiple trades. Mm-hmm. So that way, 25% of my account is into new trades. I take another 25% of my account and then leave that as management for any of those new trades that might get behind. And then what happens is that it leaves 50% of my account, half of my account, completely untouched. And what I've learned through the years in educating people as well as trading myself is by leaving yourself that cushion, what you do is you have the ability to sleep at night, right? You're not concerned about what your trade's doing, what the futures are doing, or other markets around the world. You're not concerned about being invested in capital in your account. You don't have to worry about option buying power that way. If you're in a lot of credit spreads, you don't have to worry about, you know, having the capital to buy back those spreads. And it really protects your account on just being over-invested and having it completely blow out, which, you know, unfortunately, I have seen traders do out there in the past, and it can be a very painful experience. And when I, you know, talk with them and walk through it, oftentimes it's because they were just so over-invested in their capital when there was really no need to be that deeply invested in their accounts like that.
Mm-hmm. So you think most people will ride the wave up and then they're going to ride it down as well, huh?
Absolutely. And that would be certainly my thought and my process is until it starts to break support, just keep going with the trend. There's no need to fight it. And there's plenty of money still to be made to the upside until those breaks and supports start to occur.
Mm-hmm. So, and we're not seeing those breaks yet at all, are we? At this point?
No, not at the moment. If we go back down to a daily time frame, for example, on NDX, we're just now seeing another bounce off price support levels that I see around the 7,400 level. And certainly we start to break above our moving averages. Momentum is just starting to build back up again. Unless we get back to these prior highs and start to stall out, then you might want to consider that we might be consolidating a bit more. But otherwise, I'm still very much bullish on this market at the moment. I've been there back in 2015 where, you know, I too was concerned about, you know, how could we move higher? And I was in some bearish trades and, you know, I just kept getting burned on them to where I had to ask myself, why am I fighting the market and trying to call the top? The market's not going to listen to me, right? So I rather go with the flow of it. And then when it starts to show me those signals, then jump onto that bearish bandwagon.
Absolutely. You can't fight the tape, as the old saying goes, right?
Exactly.
So option strategies, like a person, if you're a newbie, you never traded an option before. We know that most people lose, always lose money when they're involved in options, right? The majority of people, 90-some-odd%. How do you not be one of the 90-some-odd%?
I think in that case, it's all about educating yourself. When I first started trading years ago, it was actually along with my dad. And what was interesting was he, of course, much like many people out there, had a preconceived idea of how the markets worked, you know, from what they've heard on the news and everything else. Whereas I came in at the time as a fresh college student, you know, all I knew was buy low, sell high, right? Just the old Warren Buffett method, if you will.
Right.
But in that case, I came into learning options with a completely open mind and just learned the techniques and learned the strategies. And once you have a real grasp of how those strategies work, it's much easier than to implement them in an unemotional way, just looking strictly off your charts for the signals and then implementing the strategy that matches with whatever your risk tolerance is for your account or what the charts are showing you themselves. And I found that not having that preconceived idea and really doing that education on the strategies and really having a grasp and understanding of them is what set me apart in being able to be profitable in trading options. And I can definitely say for clients who take the time to sit there and learn how to trade like that, you can see it in their results and in their profits and their accounts that they have that grasp and understanding and they're able to make profits from there that way. So I think a lot of people end up losing money in options trading because they just don't have the concept of all the different strategies that they can use to their advantage in both a rising market, a declining market, and also in a choppy market. There are plenty of strategies out there that you can use when the market's flat and still look to incorporate profits that way. And I think the other thing that people get behind on where they lose money in options is that they don't understand the risk behind it, which is why I'm a big fan of understanding that when you first start trading. as well as understanding the idea about the state of the decay and the expirations and having that time limit. So when you have a grasp of the strategies on the risk and on how expirations work and really get a grasp of those three concepts, then I think you can certainly look to make money off options trading.
Mm-hmm. So that's how you become, how you escape from the 95% plus who lose money at it?
Absolutely. And I think a big part of that is certainly the risk. Because like I said, I've seen plenty of people who have the understanding, but they just so overinvest in their accounts that you're just kind of scratching your head. Like, why did you fully get in so much? And, you know, you can tell when they start to invest that much, it starts to get more into an emotional mindset in their mind where they're hoping and wishing the market's going to turn a certain way, or they just know that their trade's going to work out, when they're not taking a step back and really looking at their chart and looking at the analytics behind it and saying, hey, is this, you know, starting to reach a target where I want to put in a stop and just take the remaining capital off the table? Or is this something where I just want to go to a new chart? Maybe this chart is just not working out the way I imagine. There are plenty of options and symbols out there available to trade. So don't limit yourself, or don't keep investing and over-investing into a symbol or a chart that's just not working for you. And that's oftentimes what a lot of these traders who trade options do, and that 95% who end up losing money.
Yeah. So what is your average holding period on these options?
For me, I like to stay in them a lot shorter. I do have some that I'll be in a little bit longer, maybe a month or a few months, but oftentimes myself, just because it fits more my trading personality style, I like to only be in there maybe sometimes only a day or two, an intraday style trade them, and other times it might be a week or two that I'm in there. But I usually like the shorter term expirations for just my trading style and my preference.
Hmm. Interesting. So how long have you been trading options for?
I've been trading it for almost 10 years now. So quite some time.
Yeah,
and so it's been nonstop since I graduated from college. So I really dove in and haven't really left it.
Yeah. And so hey, when you're like looking for these options, how do you find them?
For me, I always go to my charts first. So when I first started trading, I, you know, naturally started to build a watch list off of companies that I recognized, like Amazon or Apple. And then as I continued to trade, I started to learn more symbols and, you know, more watch lists and scanners out there. And basically, I've just built a list of stocks and companies and indexes and ETFs that I like to look at. And I'll go through those each day, see which ones are starting to show a nice setup on the charts, you know, whether it's a rising or declining bias. And once I start to see that setup appear, then I'll look to jump into a strategy on the options chain itself.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's all about the technical and the charts. If the chart's not showing a setup, then I'm not going to waste, you know, putting my capital in there. I'm going to wait for that good entry point and then look to jump into the trade.
Right. So what, how often do you have to be, how successful do you have to be when trading options? What percentage of the time do you have to do a winning trade to make money at this?
I think that's different for every trader, to be honest. I know, for example, some traders that I've met or have worked with in the past, sometimes only jump into longs and we'll look at them each day in the morning and then we'll let them be and go about their day for the rest of the day and really only look at it, you know, the market and at their trades once a day because they've really built time into them and given themselves a bit more freedom. If you're somebody like me who likes the intraday style trades, then, you know, you might be looking at your charts a bit more. You might be jumping in and out of trades a bit more. But it's kind of hard to give a definite percentage of how many you need to really have winners out there, because it's all about the management of your trades, if you will. For example, if you are in a bunch of trades and take off your profits rather quickly, but tend to stay in your losers a bit longer because you're kind of in that hopeful mindset that it's going to work out, you're going to find that your winners aren't offsetting your losers as much as you might like them to. Whereas if you kind of have yourself a trading game plan whenever you go into the trade where you're like, here's my target level, whether that's based off a price that you and a profit target that you're looking for, or whether that's a price target on the chart itself where you're looking for the price to reach.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have a stop where at the point has the trade or the chart pulled back too much to where I just want to close out and protect my remaining capital. And if you have a good game plan like that set for yourself, then it's easier to find that those winners are a bit more favorable to those losers. But I do think having that trading game plan in place for each individual trade as you go in, having that target of a profit as well as a target of a stop, whether it's, you know, the chart where it's the price is breaking below the support level, or if it's a target of I don't want to lose more than this amount of capital in the trade, and you have that implemented, I think that is what allows you to be more successful in your trading, especially when it comes to options trading like this.
Yeah. So you got to be, obviously you have to be very disciplined, right?
Yes. Yes. I think if you're able to take the emotion out of the trading, which is definitely easier said than done, especially if you're a bit more of a gambler or adrenaline junkie in that sense. But if you stick to your game plan, if you stick to it and try and keep the emotions out of it, be very technical about it on the charts, you'll find that you often do better within your trading. And that's just not from my experience, but also my experience when educating other people as well.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, I guess 10 years experience, you probably learned something, huh?
I would hope so, right?
One would hope. So hey, we want to find out more about you, learn more about options trading, simpler trading. What do we do?
Well, please feel free to go to simplertrading.com. I am one of the content traders there, so you can always catch me within the options membership room as well as posting videos to the website. We do also there have a beginner's course called Foundations. So for any of you who are interested in first getting started into learning how to trade options, certainly please take a look at that. It's a very cheap monthly service to be a part of, and we're building out a lot of education in there. So for those of you who are new or maybe have had trouble trading options in the past, I think that's an excellent way to put your foot in the door, if you will, and start your education and your learning that way.
Well, sounds good. Hey, again, just email us, kl@carrylutz.com. You want to join the discussion, and well, you'll find the link to Simpler Trading in the show notes to this interview. Just click it. It'll take you right there. And Twitter feed is @CarrieLutz. The Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. And hey, well, it was a pleasure speaking with you today, Allison, and we'll look forward to talking with you again.
All right. Thanks so much, Carrie. I appreciate it.
All right. Happy trading.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.